right. Here we go. I'll do the intro. Welcome to another episode of Overasked. Today, I know I say it's always a special guest, but this is a very, very special guest because Peter, we have Peter Torkin here. He is the boss man of my brokerage in Toronto, the agency. He's the managing partner, owner of the agency Toronto, $1.5 billion in career sales. And he's the man. I love Peter, and I'm happy to have him on. So, Peter, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. First of all, I love you. You know, I chased the hell out of you to get you to come to the agency.
Yes. And
soon we're going to do the same thing with this guy, Eric. So I'm going to put him on the spot.
I don't think you want me with the agency. But I'll come out to Toronto and hang with you guys.
You need one of these shirts,
bro. I like the shirts.
The shirts are cool.
We've always said they have the coolest merch. Matt, is it nerve-wracking interviewing your boss?
Yes. This is nerve-wracking like it was interviewing Maurizio, because, you know, one wrong move and I'm fucking out the door back. Done. At, you know, I'm going to fucking
pay your checks.
yeah, my checks won't be written and I'm done. So, you know, Peter, for those who don't know you, we just saw a stat on you. You have the most followed real estate account in Toronto on Instagram. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. So right now I'm sitting at 160 something thousand dollars. Not $1,000, 1,000 followers. And it's been a process, but it's been amazing. It's a lot of deals coming out of Instagram. Social media has been big, I think, for all of us in the industry, for you, for the broker agent, for Eric. So we are heavily relying on it since the COVID started and even before that. And now we are actually getting pushed towards digital advertising in general, in any sort of platform that you can get out there. Yeah. So yeah. I'm a big, big social media guy like you guys.
You have 8 times more followers than Matt, if my calculations are correct. So
I don't want to give those stats, but you're more than free to do more.
Just a quick little math.
We don't have to go there. We'll cut that out of the episode. But Peter, it's actually very interesting because you've seen it all. A lot of people who've been in the business as long as you never get onto social because they just think they're just kind of content with what they're doing. So it's cool that you made the shift. You saw that there's a ton of money to be made from social, and you made the shift because what? Even 5 years ago, it wasn't as big as it is now. So you were pretty much all door knocking, cold call. I know you were a cold call machine.
Used to be, not anymore. But I still encourage all the agents to do every sort of avenue that you can think of. The game of real estate, not a game, the real estate business is not only one avenue. I think me and you, we talk all the time, Matt. Mm-hmm. About having different pillars of income. And I strongly believe that you can't just rely on one source of income. Either it's going to be social media or your flyer sending out or your direct or your past. If you're just a one-man show, I think fantastic, but you're not going to be making that much money because your lead generation system is poor. You don't have enough business coming to you. And you're basically as good as your last deal. That's what we've been hearing in the business, right? So in terms of social media, absolutely, you're absolutely correct. So I saw the light a few years back, and I see a lot of agents are getting forced to it now, and they do recognize the power of it, but which I did the same thing. I think we all, a few years back, saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and it was pretty impressive. And I can talk about that as well. So, yeah.
That's sweet. It's interesting how you got started on social, because you started more as like a curator page, you were saying. And then now it's moved to more personal. But what you were doing before, and I think this is a good idea for a lot of people at first, if they're kind of new to it, you were just pulling content that was already going viral and sharing it to your page. And well, you built a following.
If you want to hear the story, how I really started it. And so I can dabble in that a little bit. So maybe shed some light for other people that if they decide to do the same way. So this was back in 2013, I think. So in December, everybody was going away. That year, I decided to stay in town because of different reasons, family reasons. So I thought to myself, okay, so this is my downtime. I usually take off December 10, 15. I'll take a whole month off and I come back to work January 15. So usually I travel two or three times, but during that period of time. So that year I did it. So I decided, I said, what do I do? So I sat and I really looked at the Instagram and I looked at the social media and I started watching a lot of YouTube. And at that point, I think I didn't have that much of a followers. They didn't know what to do and how to create it. So like my wife is a testament to that. I was up until 3, 4 a.m. and I was watching these big accounts and people that are teaching how to do social media and all of that, talking about algorithm and all of the, and how to improve your social media game and get followers and engage with people. So it was a lot, it was eye-opening. So I did that. So I implemented a lot of different avenues into my account. I started with a curated page. Sort of it is curated right now, but I'm dabbling between my personal life, business life, and curated stuff as well. So really caught my eye in social media was in 2014 when I did a $4 million deal from it. It was just like, what the hell happened? So this lady called me up, said, look, I've been trying to sell my house in King City of all places. I know you do luxury and you're in luxury niche of Toronto. So I want to sell my house. We can't, it's been 1.5 years. Can you come and take a look at it? I said, sure, if you're inviting me, no problem. So me and my wife went over, we looked at the house. Next thing we know, they give us the listing, we listed it and sold it within 22 or 23 days. And they were like static. And that really opened my eyes because that was the first deal back in 2014 out of an Instagram account, which you make all of a sudden, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 from it. It just, it becomes mind-boggling for me, and it's doing a $4 million deal. So I really invested back in it. I put some time into it. I grow the page. I get to know some big pages, luxury listings, inspire me home decor, and doing a little bit of dabbling and giving shout outs and things like that with them as well at the same time. So it really grew by itself naturally after that. And, I told you this before, Matt, I've done a 20 some odd million dollar deals from it. And I just recently sent out two clients to Turks and Caicos. I just did the two land deal with our good partners, managing partners of Turks and Caicos office, and just collecting the commission. We're doing absolutely nothing. So it goes to show you what sort of a power social media has, and if you know how to actually work it and how to engage with people, and like you do, almost all your business comes from social media. So I know where it's what's going on with that. So that's the little bit of backstory. So for everybody to understand and spend some time, because it is worth it.
I love that you started with the curation angle. Ooh. In 2013-14, because that's how so many pages started off. The Fat Jewish, Fuck Jerry, these like popular meme accounts, Daddy Issues. There were so many curation pages that people built to build their personal brand. And back when Instagram was kind of first starting or becoming popular in the early 2010s, the curation was great for the algorithm. Like all the memes, all the, popular posts, anything trending was great. But now you're actually transitioning to more personal because you're showing yourself, you're showing your brand more. And because Instagram's algorithm now recognizes that curation is not as effective as shooting your own content. So it's completely flipped. But I'm actually kind of flipping in the opposite direction, because I want to curate more content of real estate professionals and real estate creators. So it's cool to see how you built the brand like that. That's really, really interesting.
Because look, back then, if you remember, you're right, 2010-ish, anything you posted, you went viral really quickly because there was not enough content. Instagram was just bought by Facebook. So the pages were growing exponentially. So all you needed was a clean feed. If you put some content that catches the eye, and you had to be, of course, very niche, sensitive. Make sure that you're targeting the specific audience that you have. That's what I did. So I said, you know what? I'm going into luxury. I'm a luxury real estate agent. So might as well cater things that has to do with homes, not necessarily just all the look at all my listing, look at this listing, look at that. No, I really switched it up. I brought up so many interesting stuff like faucets and different looks of things like closets and how to organize it. So it became into interior design and luxury homes. So I dabbled in all of those stuff and I introduced myself alongside with it. So me and my wife, so we, our page used to call, because Peter R. Page is still called Peter R. Page. So that was really interesting to people to see, okay, so there's a real estate aspect to it, there's a design aspect to it, and there is actual human being aspect to it. So what you're doing, you're absolutely doing it right. I think that this will increase somebody's potential for the page and grab more audience from different aspects that people like to see. You know, in day-to-day business.
Yeah, that's also a great angle, is you don't have to use your own listings, like you just said. So, you know, pulling from home decor and luxury listings, and you also use really engaging captions. You ask the audience to rate stuff on a scale from 1 to 10, or you ask an engaging question, like do you, like comparison questions. So you're telling them what to do in the caption, which is great for engagement. So, I mean, you watching those YouTube videos and studying that, it shows. It's been super effective.
Yeah. Up until 4 a.m. watching them, yeah, absolutely shows. Yeah, it's so cool, too, because Eric and I, we always hear people saying, you know, they like the content, but they can't create creative content or good content because they're not funny or whatever. But what you've done, Eric has been telling realtors to do this forever, and I know you've been doing it for a long time. You literally go to your listing. I mean, you have a lot of high-end listings to begin with, so you can go to your own listings and you just walk through the house with your phone and you just put a catchy song to it. Usually you put a trending song to it. You either slow it down or speed it up to fit it into a reel. And I mean, you had 9 million views on one of your reels from doing, you literally walked through one of your listings to a trending song. You had nine. Just bring us through how that happened. So you went, you walked through, and then it just kept growing. What happened?
So it's very interesting, Matt, what you just said. So Reel just came out this year, I believe, if I'm not making a mistake.
Yeah,
August, I think.
Yeah. So it's not that too long. So anything that usually an app or social media app that introduces at the beginning, they put an extreme emphasis behind it. They change their algorithm because they want to showcase the new feature that they have right now, right? So, and what's the end game of a social media platform? Anything, doesn't matter. It's to keep the audience on that platform for as long as possible. Why? Because they can push the advertising they're getting. That's how they make money. So the more eyeball and the more consistently people are on that platform, I figured the better it is for them. So that's what they push those features that they bring on right at the beginning. They did that with the IGTV, if you remember. They did that with the story. They're doing it all the time. So really comes out, I did the same thing. So I figured, let me just do a quick walk through that listing we just sold. We double ended it. We were excited. We sold less than 5 days, and I was walking through it, and I speed it up, and I'm seeing everybody doing the same thing, that they're speeding up the videos because they're only 15 seconds. So yeah. I did a little bit of editing, and that thing went viral. You're right. You got me and you. We were texting back and forth. We looked at the stats.
I was freaking out.
I was freaking out. So. Because this thing went berserk, 7,000 comments, like 9.something million views. And I think I got about, 10 to 15,000 followers out of it. All the time. It was just insane. Like every time I was sending it to you, remember?
Yeah. So
every time I refreshed, 100 followers. It was just insane. Never experienced that before. So, but here is the downside that people I don't think they know that. So as soon as the Instagram sees a content go viral, I've noticed this before, they pull your engagements afterwards. So they first of all, they think you buy and get, because nobody gets 15,000 followers in 3 days, by example, so, because it's crazy. And so I noticed that engagement drops and they don't push the rest of your content afterwards as much as they did for that specific post. So as much as I loved it, I gained a humongous followers, I also hated it because I love as steady as she goes, right? You know, you get 3,000 to 5,000 followers every month. It's as steady as she goes. But when you go like that, they put a stop to it. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not.
Yeah, it could be frustrating if you post something that gets incredible engagement and then you're constantly chasing those amount of views or those amount of comments with every post after. I have noticed that a little bit too, that after I post something that gets a ton of engagement, that the next couple of days or next couple of posts, it's a little bit suppressed. I don't know if that's the algorithm or just the content isn't as good. So Instagram's recognizing like this piece did so well, this one's not going to perform as well. So they're not showing it in other people's feed just because of that direct contrast between the last post. But I mean, 9 million views. That's crazy. We've never achieved that.
I'm jealous. Like Justin Bieber status.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? Where do you go from there? Now you have to get 10 million.
Yeah, no, I don't think we'll see if we can beat that, because I posted that same video again and again. It's not getting the same engagement that we did before.
Just keep posting it.
Let's go. Another 10. Let's see it.
Maybe that's what's suppressing your algorithm, is you're just posting the same thing over and over. Are you posting these videos to TikTok also? Or are you filming natively on TikTok? So, or what's your strategy there?
At the beginning of the year, I speak to Matt all the time.
Yeah.
I think he's a creative genius. And
I wouldn't go that far.
After you, of course.
Aaron. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So I usually run contests by him. At the beginning of the year, we chatted a lot to how to go and dabble in different avenues. So TikTok, as soon as the app was introduced, I can't remember when it was, I've been on it. And my kids were making fun of me. Dad, this is for the teenagers. Why are you on it? I kept laughing. I said, listen, those teenagers have parents. So
yeah.
You know what I mean? And all they have to do is go, Dad, look how gorgeous this house is. You know what I mean? So I didn't give up. So I posted, stop, posted, stop. So I gained like 30,000 followers or something on audit, and if I'm consistent enough, I can, you know, the followers would increase. It's just a question of timing. But to your take is, I got excited. I called Matt. I said, look, some lady messaged me. She said, I want you to come and appraise our house for a listing, $4 million house. So I said, okay, where did you find me? Did you find me on, we saw you on TikTok. Holy crap. You know,
yeah.
So I called Matt, freaking out. Matt, first lead from the TikTok.
And it was the daughter who showed their parents, right? That was exactly what you said.
That's exactly what it was. So goes to show you, never underestimate the potential of reach, right? So who the people could see, could approach, and where the lead's going to come from. So I recommend people not to give up on these things. So the problem that we are having, all of us, are not consistent enough, including myself. You know, it's time consuming, right? And plus, I get a call, Matt, every day. Did you upload your trade? Did you upload your paperwork? No, I got to chase him constantly. And he still hasn't done it, by the way. So
he's talking to me all day.
It's a real issue. I have a real issue with like submitting the paperwork. Getting better. Peter's on me though.
That was getting a joke. So anyways, it's creating content is the issue, right? That's why a lot of, you know, creative accounts or curated accounts are much better, because you can always bring posts and grab content from other sources. As long as you give credit to those sources, I think that's everybody wins, right? You get followers and they get followers as well.
Can you curate content on TikTok? I know that TikTok at the beginning, I tried to post a couple videos that weren't organic, meaning I wasn't involved in the video and I wasn't filming it on the app. I was basically just reposting my video memes from Instagram Reels or from Instagram onto TikTok. And those would get like 100 views. And then if I filmed myself, I'd get, you know, 10,000.
So TikTok is different, Eric. TikTok is raw. It's very, very raw. It doesn't need to be curated at all. I think it's more of an audience of raw videos. You're absolutely right. So if I wanted to curate it, something over there, it's not going to get as much as engagement as some duet or some stitches mm-hmm. that you do between the videos, by example. And I think the attention span of people that are on TikTok because of the average age is extremely low. You know what I mean? They're going like this, like every 2 seconds, right? So unless if something at the beginning of that video catches their eye, they're not gonna watch it. So that's what I've been noticing. I think you're absolutely right. Raw videos, it's a lot more attractive than if you grab something else and just post it randomly.
Yeah, it's annoying. I keep trying to do different shit on there and I can't figure it out. It pisses me off too.
Some creative genius, huh? This guy can't even figure out TikTok.
Well, I don't get why it doesn't do well on TikTok at all. It's insane. So it's really bad.
Post consistently.
Peter, so you've been in the business a while, and what's interesting about you is you had a ton of success on a team and prior to, you know, by having the agency, you were on a team and you were like the main guy on the, you weren't the team lead, but you were like the go-to guy mm-hmm. and you had a ton of success and you were there for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting because some people like to be on a team and they think maybe they can't make a great living being on a team with a certain split or whatever. So how is that? And can you just walk us through kind of, I guess, the earlier?
For brand new agents, I always recommend joining a team first. Unless you have a sales background in your bone in your body, that you know what you're doing and you are capable of managing your own time and how to generate business, then go on your own by all means. But as a brand new agent, when you come into the business, I think best would be to join a team that will, because the smaller teams are not brokerages. Brokerages are huge. They have too many agents. They don't have time. The brokers and the managers, yes, they put in so many different classes for you to learn what to do and how to do it and all of that. But it's not a very pressured environment between one-on-one basis, right? So if you paid attention, Matt, the reason that I don't bring a lot of agents in, because you and me, we get one-on-one times. That's something that if you had 200 agents right now, you will not gonna have. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's why the beauty of the agency.
Yeah. You wouldn't be texting me about your 9 million views on the reel if we had 200 agents.
So a team, so when I started, I was talking to Paul that you know, when I started my career 15 years ago, things were different back then, right? I was one of the top agents in Canada, regardless, because I've been in the sales for almost 30 years. So my first year I did over $500,000 in commission. That was my first year in the business. So then things just skyrocketed. So when I joined the team, it was a win-win situation for both of us, for my old partner. We became partner afterwards. Because he was working in a very luxury and high-end market, and I was a go-getter, so it really matched our personality. I opened a lot of doors. We went in and we closed them together. Sold over $1 billion with him, and then time for me to move on and share the knowledge, share the information, and share the hustle that I did for all these years with everybody in our team, right? With the agency in Toronto. So, and I'm just loving that. So now I'm with you guys, hopefully we can share that knowledge for more audience out there for as long as they get increased, one or two things that they do differently and improve their business, I'm happy with that.
Right. So what was your thought process? Because you could have just went on your own to any brokerage, and you know, you didn't have to own a brokerage. You could just went to any brokerage and been successful. Why did you go? What happened with the agency? Why did you buy into it? Now you're an owner. Like why'd you want to become an owner other than just, you know, just do your sales in another brokerage?
Biggest reason was my wife, number one. Paige. That's the biggest reason. But beside that reason, I was extremely comfortable where I was, just pulling in $120, $150 million in sales every year on my own. Didn't need to go and create a headache, as I said before. So, it becomes two different aspects. One, there is a time for everything, in my opinion. I hate hitting plateaus. That's my personality. I cannot have a ceiling. Once I hit that ceiling, then I'll look for next. So I was hitting the ceiling with my previous team, and I was supposed to run the business, but it was very different. I wanted to run our own show with my wife's encouragement, of course. So we came across the agency brand through a close friend of mine, Luxury Listing Combis, who was the owner of the page with Sina, and they introduced me to Mauricio. Within 2 weeks, we were chatting with Mauricio, and within a month later, I was in LA with my wife, looking at the brokerage and seeing how it is and how is it operating. What's so different about it than we don't have it here? And did a little bit of the due diligence in terms of what is the agency about until we got there, and it was absolutely breathtaking. It was eye opening because in Toronto, you know, Matt, the brokerages are stuck in 1970s.
Oh yeah, they're stuck in the mud here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why one of the reasons Eric needs to move to an agency too.
Move to Toronto.
Yeah, just move to Toronto.
So that was one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to bring something fresh, something new, something that can increase life for everybody. It takes them to the next level on their career. And having fun while doing it, you know, what's the point of competing everybody in the brokerages and beating the hell out of each other? And I made fun of this, and you will remember this, Matt. I said, how does it feel when you, Eric, let me ask you this too. How does it feel for you guys to print, if you're in the office, imagine, you print a listing paper of yours in the copy machine and you have to run and grab it so nobody else comes and steal your address.
Yeah, seriously.
On the door.
Bunch of savages.
Or the printer just doesn't work. Exactly. You're just losing your mind.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
So that environment, it's a competitive environment. It's a terrible environment. It's good to have competition, but a healthy one. It's good to look up to something for the next plateau. But we don't have that in Toronto. We still don't within the brokerages because everybody's out there to get whatever, you know, they can.
Yeah. I mean, and it's doing really well. We've expanded to, well, we came to Toronto. We're in Victoria and where are we? Kitchener. We're like expanding pretty fast. I think we're making our name known.
Absolutely.
Eric, out your way, where the agency is one of the, like when you think of real estate, you think of like the agency and a couple others, right? Like seriously.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely a top brokerage here.
Yeah. Top brokerage. And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
With here.
When I think real estate, I think the agency. Is that what you were trying to get?
Yes, exactly. I wanted to do it in a more polite way because you're not with the agency, but you've told me before where you are.
I like the logo. That's all I've said, Matt.
No, but where you are, it's like, it's one of the
prestigious brokerage, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's absolutely.
Like the best. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you said that, right? It was like the best.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah,
Okay. I didn't say it's the best.
Okay.
I don't work with the agency. It's a great brokerage. Every agent I know at the agency crushes.
Yeah, you like them, yeah.
But man, it's not for
super attractive.
You know what I mean? You can't put Eric on the not.
Yeah, he says we have the most attractive brokerage.
No, listen, it's not for everybody. Maybe he doesn't want to go to the next one.
Look, I'm a podcaster now. Okay? I'm a content curator. This isn't about...
Eric, are you regretting this right now?
No. It's interesting because Eric's actually, he's gone to a point with his brand that he's going to be leaving real estate soon.
So yeah, I've mentally left at this point.
But he's... Right, Eric? You're like this year, you're going to be... Gone?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I guess at this point you could say I almost am.
Yeah.
The guy out of the business. Why are you doing that?
No, he's been talking about it. This is like his goal. Since
my goal is
real estate.
My goal is to grow this to a media brand that I could monetize this and be the number one entertainment platform for real estate agents so they could laugh and eventually get educated.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, go. I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty That's sweet. Perfect. So you've been in sales for 30 years, almost like
1994.
Okay, so you were with Sony, correct?
Oh, so many different companies.
Okay.
Sony Corporation was the last one. I was their number one sales guy in Canada. So So it's a years in process, my friend. So
I was one of the number one sales guys at Sunglass Hut. So if you need free sunglasses or 50% off, I still get it. My picture's on the wall still. It's a plaque. It's incredible. I did $60,000 worth of sunglass sales in 5 months.
There you go.
It's incredible.
I was with Future Shop. I don't know if you remember Future Shop.
Oh, of course. I used to go in and play all the games.
Right. Yeah. Me and Steve used to work for Future Shop as well. So Steve Bailey was I don't know what what Future Shop is, Eric.
It's like a Circuit City
store. Massive
yeah
so massive electronic store. So this is way in 1997 to 1999 I was in working over there at sales, and the back then I used to pull in 120k a year in 1997. Jesus. I was number one in Canada. So the managers and the general managers weren't making as much as money as you. So I used to pull in with a brand new BMW 3 Series.
Jeez. So making more Future Shop.
What the hell?
Born to be in sales. Number one, everywhere you've been.
Born to sell.
Yeah. That's a t-shirt right there, man.
Born to sell. Yeah. That's
actually, no, maybe not.
Insane. Steve Bailey, Eric owns the agency.
We used to be in it's pretty funny when Steve and I and Kat and Paige we went out for lunch. We were chatting and said, "Okay, so what are you going to do?" 4 years ago, we started chatting. So he was in Future Shop. I was in Future Shop. We used to sell electronics together. Same years almost, or he was a year ahead of me. And we knew the guys that back then and the managers, and we have two dogs. The dogs are named Bentley, and it's two daughters, and it was like match made in heaven. This is right before we go to LA, right? So it's pretty funny. Like,
wait, both awesome. Your dogs were named the same name?
Yeah. So his is Bentley. Ours is Bentley too.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
quite the coincidence.
You can't drive it, but you can at least call it.
Right.
That's awesome. Well, Peter, before we wrap up, I want to know, because you've been so successful in the business, you're one of my favorite people in the business. That's why I joined. Because you can just tell genuine people, you want to work with genuine people. And I just really liked you as a person more than anything. And then you sent me that cool agency video of like Maurizio looking all cool with that awesome Kanye West song. And I was like, all right, where do I sign? But what would you recommend for people getting into the business now? What can they do today to have a successful sales business?
So look at Matt. It's not a pill that anybody needs to take, or it's not one advice I can tell somebody that say you do this and you become successful. It doesn't work that way. Everybody needs to go through the grind, needs to go through the hustle. I know it's a repetitive and everybody says the same thing. But truly, if you remember our conversation at the beginning, I told you this as well. I said, I'm looking for people that have a fire under the belly. Because that fire under the belly, doesn't matter if you sell homes, real estate, cars, pan, whatever you're selling. If you're not passionate about that product, number one, and if you're not passionate about giving service to people, you're going to be terrible at it. So that's number one. Number two, that fire that you have, the desire to become successful, to set goals, to improve your life, and to keep hitting the goals and improving the next year and going to the next and next and next and next and next. It's what differentiates good salespeople or good real estate agents from not so great or average. So number one, I think everybody needs to do a balance check for themselves. Do a gut check for yourself. Do you have the, why are you doing this? Why do you want to come to real estate? You know what I mean? Why do you, just because somebody said, oh, real estate, you sell one home, you're going to make a lot of money. It doesn't work that way. I have a 90-10 rule. I tell all of you guys, I said, you heard me say this before, 10% of the agents make 90% of the money. So do you want to be part of that 10% or you just want to be part of the 90%? So there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's having a good life, being part of the 90%, making 100, 200, 300,000. It's not hard to make in our industry, but do you want to become part of that 10%? So if you do, that takes a little bit of different angle and how you look at business. It's a business. You have to treat it like a business. I told I tell all my agents, I said, really, real estate is not a rocket science. It's a very simple business to do. Out of 1 year, 9 months out of the year, we work 3 months, we fuck around. Okay, so we are in la la land. We're vacation mentally or physically, doesn't matter. So but you got to be productive. You got to make sure that you have a business in place. It's you opening the door. It's like a retail spot. You open it at certain hours. You finish at certain hours. But that's not us, because we don't have a boss. Nobody tells us what to do. It becomes extremely difficult to put tasks for ourselves and accountability. So towards that. So it's great for new agents to understand that concept, that have the burning desire under your belly to become successful. Aim high. Most agents I see, they go join a brokerage that their top guy makes $200,000 a year. So if you join a brokerage that your top guy makes $200,000 a year, what are you aiming for? You understand what I'm saying? You have to aim somewhere, right? So these are the things that I would recommend. Chase the dream, work it hard, and it's all, everybody says the same thing, but you really need to set plans and work your plans. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, love that. And that's why I am on the journey with you, Peter, because you're the man.
You're rocking it, brother. What are you talking about? He's killing it, by the way, Eric, this year. You know that?
Yeah, he's told me.
Oh, yeah.
I tell him every day.
I've heard it so many times, I feel like it's happening to me almost.
Yeah, I tell him every day.
He's blown his goals already. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so the next level.
Eric had a terrible crypto accident yesterday, and he's been upset since.
But after all this, we're all pumping each other up. Peter's saying you're having the best year ever. We're talking about how great Peter is, and you're saying I had a bad crypto accident. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Don't remind him.
Hey, I'm not even into crypto, so you're a step ahead of me in that regard.
I bought the Ethereum a long time ago, and I forgot about it. So the other day, I'm looking at I remember I bought something here. So anyways, it's hilarious. So it's a good thing.
Oh, wow.
What else?
Nothing. I think we're good. I think you knocked it out of the park here, Peter.
We should ask, since you are the number one followed account in Canada, where can people follow you? What is your Instagram handle, Facebook, Twitter? Where do you want to direct people?
Peter Webb page. As soon as they put on Instagram, it pops up, and that's about it. What else do you want to know?
I only give my Instagram.
By the way, our agency Instagram handle is different. It's not the Agency Toronto. It's the Agency 6.
Nice.
Like Drake says.
Like Drake.
Yeah, it's cool.
We're the 6.
The coolest,
Exactly.
Just so you know, Eric. Okay, awesome.
The coolest brokerage in the world. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. We got it on tape from Eric, from the broke agent himself.
We held a key point. Look at this thing. Stupid joke. Delete that.
Awesome.
Love it.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Peter. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
I'll call you in, probably an hour.
Yeah.
Me or Pete?
I was waiting to see how this interview goes before I issue your check.
Yes. I have a check going today. He told me he was going
to
do that. I noticed it still isn't in, so... hopefully it went well.
Get your paperwork in, then maybe.
I know.
You still have to submit the trade record sheet. So.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Peter. Thank take you. It easy.
Chatting with you.
Talk See you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I love Peter.
Yeah, he's great.
So that was Peter Torkin. He is the he's the managing partner at the office I work at, and he's a beast. He kills it. And yeah, just
sounds like you guys have some pretty good rapport.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it does.
He's a great guy.
Having a lot of agency guys on the show. No, they're all really cool.
They're cool. Yeah.
You like Peter, and it's awesome how he built his following with the curation. Genius strategy for, like you were saying, for someone who's been in the business for so long to notice that trend early back in 2012-13, actually watch YouTube videos, yeah, and figure out how to grow his following. And now he's closing $20 million deals from his Instagram, getting more views than we are, you know.
It's insane. And
legendary.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, a lot of people who have been in the business a long time, just like I said, they're content with it. They work on the referrals, and pretty much just referrals at that point when you've been in, you know, 15 plus years. And yeah, he just, like Jason in our other episode, they're just not content. They have a different mindset than a lot of people, right? They just always want to get to that next level. And it's pretty crazy. And yeah, $1.5 billion in career sales is insane.
It's insane. Yeah, and he closed a deal in Turks and Caicos because of his TikTok or because of his Instagram?
His Instagram.
He literally did nothing, just through referral. Yeah. So,
I mean, I know, that's the dream. That's where you should get to.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, people question social media. If you could just, you know, post a picture of a shower, put some music on it, and then close a deal from that, it's the way to go. Smart man right there.
Yeah.
Not all he does, of course. He does a lot more on Instagram. But
well, yeah, but
very smart strategy.
Yeah. He's awesome. He does. So everyone go follow him. You can definitely get some good ideas if you want to be like, you know, his page is still very engaging and you want to see what comes next, but it's nothing like, you know, he's not trying to do skits or anything. Like, it's things that people can execute. Pretty much anyone could execute. He's just consistent and he's doing it. He's got it down to a bit of a science now, how he films his videos, and that's all it is. So
yeah, the speed up, slow down effect.
It's crushes. Solid. Yeah, yep. It's solid.
Makes the video way more entertaining.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stop staring at this fucking bruise on my forehead right here. Were you looking at that thing? It's like a sniper is pinpointing me the entire time.
No, I could not even see it. It's more of a, you have a shadow on that side of the face.
Yeah, I know. That's purposeful.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I put the light over here. No, I have a wedding. Fine. Going to a wedding in a couple of days, and I saw a premature pimple developing. So I attacked it viciously on Monday night during one of the crypto
spectro gel.
What was that?
Oh, you don't have spectro gel?
So no, is that some Canadian gel. Glue?
Yeah,
it's
goo. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was viciously attacking it because I was like, I got to get this thing out. And then, of course, ended up creating a larger problem, bruising the skin. Now I'm moisturizing, drying, moisturizing, showering, putting Cetaphil, putting sunscreen on it, doing everything I can. I got about 24 hours for this thing to heal before the wedding.
Is the wedding Friday? Well,
Saturday night, but tomorrow's a travel day. Tomorrow afternoon.
Doesn't do any favors.
Not gonna help me. It doesn't do me any favors. I can't look in the mirror every 5 seconds. I can't monitor it. And I'm gonna be seeing people tomorrow night. So
I think maybe. I'm not sure. But perhaps you could get some polysporin, something like that.
I don't know what any of these are. I know all facial medications, and these are like witchcraft, Canadian witchcraft. No, what the hell is polysporin?
Fucking polysporin? It's like it's for like small cuts and stuff, so it doesn't get infected. So whatever the equivalent.
No, this is not going to get infected.
No, I know.
It's healing.
But it heals your cuts. So what a lot of people do with like if they have something they want gone, is they will put on this polysporin or whatever the fuck you have, and they put a band-aid on it overnight, and it just kind of sticks on there and it stays, and then boom, gone in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I wish that was the case.
You haven't tried it, so you don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, anyways, folks,
pray for me, everybody.
Sorry to drag this on. Yeah. Well, the wedding will have already been done. So
hey, if you listen this far in the comments, Let me know that it looked okay. You didn't notice it.
Yeah. So say, if you've listened this far, say, Eric, it looked okay.
Yeah. Okay. Eric, comma, it looked okay.
Yes. Yes. Well, folks, y'all take care now.